You are listening to continuing coverage of the trial of Chad Daybell from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Let's go back to the courtroom.
All rise. District Court's now in session. Honorable Stephen W. Boyce, judge presiding.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. And Mr. Bailey, if we can have the jurors brought in, please.
All right, please. Please, I'll present now for your honor.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, we are back on the record on Fremont County KCR 22211623. Counsel's present as well as the defendant and defense counsel. The court will note that all 18 jurors are present and properly seated, and the court has reviewed and confirmed that all 18 jurors have signed their juror affirmation for the day. So thank you again for following the court's admonishment given to you at the end of each day. We're continuing with the case in chief of the state. I believe the state at this point is calling its next witness, and who's going to be conducting direct?
Your Honor, the state will be calling Brenda Dye, and I'll be handling that.
All right, Mr. Wixom, then you can call your witness.
Swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
All right, now that the witness has been sworn, let me just inquire, because this trial is being live streamed and accessible to the public, I wanted to inquire on the court's exclusionary order. Ms. Dye, have you reviewed or watched any of the trial testimony that's taken place since the case started?
No.
Okay, and have you talked to anyone else about their testimony they've given in trial? Okay, with that affirmation, then I'll allow Mr. Wixom to commence with the direct, and I'll ask the witness, please talk right into the microphone so we make sure to pick up your words, and go ahead, Mr. Wixom.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Ms. Dye.
Good morning.
Will you please state and spell your full name for the record?
Brenda Dye, B-R-E-N-D-A, last name Dye, D-Y-E.
Thank you. And ma'am, where do you live?
I live in Fremont County, Island Park, Idaho.
And what do you do for a living?
I am the Fremont County coroner, and I also work for Fremont County EMS as an EMT.
And to clarify that for the jury, as an EMS, are you trained in life-saving techniques?
Yes.
As an EMS, are you trained in autopsies or any of those kinds of things?
No.
How long have you been the coroner?
I took office in January of 2019.
So when you say that you took office, you're an elected position?
I am, yes.
When you took office at that time, did you receive any specialized training as to how to be a coroner?
Very limited training. I did attend a two-day training in Boise. And then I attended probably a four-day training in Las Vegas, Nevada in July of 2019.
Since that time, have you received other training as a coroner?
Yes.
What training have you received?
Every spring and fall training in Boise, here in Boise. And then every July, we have a training in Las Vegas, Nevada. And I've attended that every year since 2019.
Can you explain to the jury what is the primary function and role of a coroner in Idaho?
We respond to unattended deaths. We determine the cause of death. We make sure that our decedent gets to the proper funeral home. And then I sign off on the death certificate.
Okay. I want to back up and have you explain a little bit. Does Idaho have an ME system, a medical examiner system?
Yes, and here in Ada County, that's our closest facility to take our decedents for autopsy.
Typically, in most counties in Idaho, do they have their own ME?
No.
I'd like you to kind of please explain what functions or things do you do to help determine a cause of death when you arrive at an unattended death?
We conduct an investigation. We look for weapons. We look for medications. We look for the family to give us information, health history about for the decedent.
And just for the jury's sake, from your perspective, how do you define an unattended death?
A death that is not someone who's not directly under a doctor's care.
And you just noted that one of the things you do is to look for weapons. Why do you do that?
To determine cause of death.
Why is identifying whether there's a weapon important in determining a cause of death?
If it was homicide, suicide, medications for natural health history.
Okay. What factors as a coroner do you look at when you determine whether or not to have an autopsy performed?
When we conduct our investigation, we usually have a detective on scene who helps us determine that. Usually if we cannot find a cause of death, and we don't do a lot of autopsies just because of my budget. It doesn't allow for us to do a lot of autopsies, and we have to come over to Ada County, and transport the body over here if we, deem it necessary for an autopsy.
Thank you. I'm going to ask you to define for the jury some terms that you might typically use as a coroner. Are you familiar with the term lividity? Can you explain to the jury what that word means?
Judge, could I have some foundation as to how she knows about lividity?
Mr. Wixom.
Ma'am, how do you know what the word lividity means?
My training and my EMS training for years.
Will you please go ahead and explain to the jury what that word means?
Yes, it's the lowest point of the body that the blood pools when somebody is no longer living, and it pulls at the lowest point in the body, and it looks like a bruise. It looks like a red bruise.
Help the jury understand, how does identifying whether or not there's lividity help you in your role as a coroner?
It helps me to know how the body was found, how the body, the position of the body at the time of death.
Why is that important for you?
To know if the body was moved. That's the most important, is to know if someone has moved the body or not.
Perhaps maybe this is more of a common term, but can you explain to the jury your understanding of the definition of rigor mortis?
Rigor mortis is stiffening of the body. It normally occurs 2 to 6 hours after the time of death, and then it releases after about 8 hours, approximately.
And why is identifying rigor mortis important to your role as a coroner?
To determine the time of death.
In addition to rigor mortis, are there other things that you look at to determine time of death?
Yes, we can look at lividity, rigor mortis, the temperature of the body. A lot of times, well, the abdominal cavity is the last part of the body to lose its warmth. So if somebody is cold to the touch on the abdomen, they have been deceased for quite a while.
And then when you are responding to an unattended death, and are making a determination if an autopsy is necessary, what other factors besides those mentioned do you look at or consider to determine if an autopsy is appropriate?
I think for a minute. Part of our investigation, when we cannot determine a cause of death, or if it is a homicide, then we do autopsies. Child deaths, we normally do autopsies.
Okay. I want to draw your attention back to October 19th of 2019. Do you recall responding to an unattended death for a Tammy Daybell?
Yes.
And prior to responding to that, had you ever heard Tammy Daybell's name?
No.
You didn't know her in any way?
No.
What about her husband, Chad Daybell? Were you familiar with him at all?
No.
Any of the Daybell family members that you were acquainted with or knew in any way?
No.
So can you explain to the jury, when you responded to that unattended death, how did you receive that call or that request to come?
I was on the ambulance for my other job, and we were returning from an ambulance call from the hospital, and I received a call from our dispatch that there was an unattended death that I needed to respond to.
Is that the norm? Dispatch will call you?
Yes.
Right. And the best you can recall, what time of day did you receive that call?
It was early morning.
And did you respond immediately?
I got there as quickly as I could. I had the ambulance drop me off on my way back through.
When you say the ambulance dropped you off, were you hurt or were you working otherwise?
No, I was working.
How long approximately did it take for you to arrive on scene from the time you got the initial call?
Approximately 45 minutes.
And prior to arrival, did you talk to anybody else about helping you with this?
Yes, I called my deputy coroner, Wilmore. She's about 10 minutes away from where the deceased was. And dispatch had called me a few times to request my estimated time of arrival because the decedent's husband was very distraught, very upset, crying. And so I had my deputy go and start the investigation until I showed up.
Are you aware, was anybody else dispatched or sent to the scene?
Yes, we had Officer Greenhalgh there.
So at the time that you arrived, had Officer Greenhalgh and Deputy Coroner Wilmore already arrived?
Yes.
So I want you to tell the jury, what's the first thing that you observed when you arrived on scene?
I observed Chad, the husband, very distraught, very upset, walking around. And his son was on scene also with him, Garth. Chad was very distraught. Garth was emotionless to me.
And for the jury's sake, can you describe your recollection of the layout of the home when you first arrived there?
I walked into the kitchen, and there I met with Officer Greenhalgh and Deputy Wilmore, and they kind of filled me in on what they had done, what they had seen.
And then at some point, did you go in and observe Tammy Daybell's body?
Yes, I did.
And how did you get there?
I walked through the kitchen, down the hall into the back bedroom.
Who took you into the bedroom?
I believe Officer Greenhalgh and Deputy Wilmore.
And at some point, did you engage Chad Daybell in any conversation or discussion?
Yes.
When did you do that?
After I looked at the body, I questioned Chad about Tammy's health, her past health history.
Your Honor, at this time, rather than republishing this exhibit, I would ask to have the witness provided the state's exhibit 295B, as in David.
Okay.
And it was published yesterday to the jury. Ma'am, for the record, what are you holding in your hand?
I'm holding a picture of Tammy, deceased on the bed.
Okay. In looking at that photo, on the back, but is there a mark on it?
The exhibit.
Yes, ma'am. Do you see that?
Yes.
Will you just note for the record what number that is?
295D.
Thank you. Now, flipping it back over and looking at it, just can you confirm for the jury, is what you see in that picture the same position that Tammy's body was in when you first walked into the room and observed her?
Yes.
What did you first observe about her body when you first went in and looked at her?
I observed the blood-tinged sputum coming from her mouth. Kind of a pink foam. She was wrapped in a blanket. I asked if that is the position she was in when she was found, and Chad told me no, she was hanging half off the bed with her face and head towards the floor on her left side. When he discovered she was deceased, he called for Garth to help him, whose bedroom is across the hall, and they picked her up off the floor and put her on the bed and covered her with a blanket.
At that moment in time, when you were observing her, did you do anything to physically check her or touch her?
Yes, I did.
What did you do?
Looked at the body. We always look at the body and know any injuries, any signs of struggle, anything. I did observe rigor mortis had set in. Lividity on the backside, so her back, her bottom, her legs, the back of her legs as she was laying. And then I also noted that she was cold to the touch. Her abdomen was cold. So
when you just noted that you observed lividity, did you make that observation at that moment in time, or did you examine her body? At what point did you identify what you thought was lividity?
At that point, when I examined her body, I saw lividity.
What, if anything, did, let me withdraw that. Did you just tell us, did you observe lividity on her body?
Yes.
And what, if anything, did that lividity tell you?
That she died on her back.
Did you observe anything else in the room at the time?
Yes, there was a kitchen towel to the side of the bed. And it had the pink blood tinge sputum on it. And I asked Chad if he had used that towel. He said yes, that he had used that towel to wipe her face.
And you were starting to explain to the jury, Chad gave you an accounting of how he discovered her.
Yes, he said that he felt her body roll off the bed, and that's what awakened him. And just because of the rigor mortis, the lividity, the coldness of her body, I asked how that was possible if she had been gone that long. And he said it may have been from him pulling on the sheets and releasing her body as it fell. He stated that she was going through menopause and she had hot flashes, and she liked to sleep with her feet outside the covers and on the edge of the bed.
What triggered you to inquire how that is possible, or his account of how the body fell? Why did you question that?
Because if someone's dead, they can't roll out of bed. So I was trying to understand how that woke him up. When somebody is dead, they can't move.
Did his explanation make sense to you?
The explanation of maybe him pulling on the sheet or the blanket released her body. But looking back on it, no.
Why, looking back on it, does it not make sense to you?
It would take a lot of force to roll a body out of bed.
So I'll move on. What else, if anything, did Chad tell you at that time about Tammy?
Chad stated that Tammy had been feeling really off for the past few months. He stated that she had told him she felt outside of her body, not normal. He told me that she had been having fainting spells. And one occasion he said they were at the temple and she was kneeling at the altar, and when she went to stand up, she fainted. He said she had extremely low blood pressure, but she did not seek medical attention for that from a doctor. He said she did not like going to the doctor, and she would try to treat everything natural. There was a lot of natural supplements and oils in the kitchen cupboard when we were looking for medications, and also a natural remedy book on her side table in the bedroom.
I want to take you back. You said that Chad indicated to you that Tammy had a low blood pressure problem?
Yes.
But she wouldn't go to the doctor about that?
Yes. He said that she tested it like on a Walmart or Walgreens blood pressure machine.
Did Chad give you any accounting of the timing of the night before and kind of how he perceived Tammy?
Yes. He said about 12:30, she was having a coughing fit and she vomited in the bathroom. He helped her back to bed. She said she was okay. And then he went to sleep.
Did he ever identify for you what time it was that he claimed he was woken up by her falling?
Approximately 12. Oh, her falling out of bed?
Yes.
I think it was just before 6 a.m. in the morning.
You indicated that there were some, I think you talked about supplements or oils that were found in the home?
Yes.
Okay. And did anybody tell you whether or not those were things that Tammy was using?
Yes.
Who told you that?
Chad.
What did he say about that specifically?
That she liked to try and treat everything naturally and not go to the doctor. But she did have, we did find a prescription for fluoxetine. And Garth admitted that he was sharing that with his mom for his depression, anxiety.
Did you identify any other prescribed medications in the home?
Just the fluoxetine and then over-the-counter medications and the natural supplements.
You mentioned earlier that Chad had said that Tammy had been feeling out of her body.
Yes.
Your experience as a coroner, is that a common way or a common symptom for someone to describe?
Judge, calls for speculation.
Overruled.
Could you repeat it? Sorry.
In your experience, is saying that I feel out of my body a common thing for someone to describe as a symptom?
It can be, yes.
What did you take that to mean and how did that play into your assessment?
With the low blood pressure, with the fainting spells. And also he did say that she had a fall a month or two prior to her, to this day, and she hurt her wrist. She did go to the doctor for that because she was afraid it was broke. And the doctor did prescribe Tramadol for that. There was no Tramadol found on scene. He stated that she had taken the prescription as prescribed.
Now, I want to be clear. As a coroner, you're not a medical doctor.
No.
Are MEs medical doctors?
Yes.
At the time you were on scene, besides identifying the supplements or the fluoxetine?
Yes.
Did you have access to any medical records for Tammy?
No. Those we have to request from the doctor, and it can take up 2 weeks to receive those.
So at that time, I'll withdraw that. At that point in time, approximately how many unattended deaths had you responded to?
It was my first year being in office, so under 10.
And now, on average, how many unattended deaths do you respond to?
It could be 20 to 50 a year.
And ultimately, did you determine what you believed was the time of death for Tammy?
We estimated the time of death. If we don't have an exact time, then we do an estimation of when she was last seen alive and when we get the call. And then lividity, rigor mortis, and the temperature of the body also plays into that.
And ultimately, do you determine a cause of death? And are you the one who signs a death certificate?
Yes.
And did you do that in this case?
Yes.
What did you determine the cause of death for Tammy was initially?
I determined it was pulmonary edema.
Can you explain that to the jury?
Due to a cardiac event. So pulmonary edema is the backup of fluid, blood in the lungs. And where he told me she had low blood pressure and the fainting spells, that can play into that part. And also, I asked about any seizure-like activity because of the foam in the mouth. Chad did tell me that she did have shaking fits when she would faint. So her legs would shake and she would convulse.
And how did you factor that into your determination of cause of death, that accounting from Chad about shaking fits?
Seizure-like activity.
And what led you to, you mentioned a second ago that you had included in your potential cause of death a heart attack. What led you to include that?
A cardiac event, just because of the extremely low blood pressure and the fainting, which if your blood pressure does drop really low, it does make you faint.
Now, as a coroner, do you make a decision about an autopsy based upon a family's wishes?
No.
Is that something you consider, though?
Ultimately, the decision is up to me. If I deem one necessary, then I do it, regardless of family's wishes.
In this instance, did you have a discussion with Chad or with the family about their feelings about an autopsy?
I did mention it. Chad didn't seem to want it or not want it, but Emma was on scene, Chad's daughter, and she really didn't want her mom to have an autopsy. It's pretty extensive, and she didn't want her mom's body to have to go through that.
So understanding that you make the shots and the call, do you still, as a factor, at least consider what the family is telling you about their wishes?
If I deem it necessary, then I do order an autopsy. If I do not deem it necessary and the family requests an autopsy, then they are they're responsible to pay for that autopsy.
Now, have you recently made any amendments to the death certificate?
Yes.
And what have you done with that?
The manner of death was changed to homicide. The cause of death was changed to asphyxiation by suffocation.
Can you explain to the jury, why did you make that change?
Tammy's body was exhumed, and a medical examiner from Utah autopsied her body. She had a very deep...
Judge, I'm going to object at this point. She's calling to make conclusions that she doesn't have any foundation, or we don't have any foundation to suggest she's qualified to make. And in addition, she's going to be reciting what another medical examiner may or may not have said.
All right. On lack of foundation, I'll sustain the objection.
Thank you, Your Honor. Ma'am, you mentioned that there was an autopsy performed.
Yes.
Did you attend that autopsy?
Yes.
Were you present for the beginning to end of the autopsy?
Yes.
As you were there, were you standing there with the ME performing the autopsy?
Yes.
Was the ME explaining, as performing the autopsy, what they were seeing?
Yes.
As a 20-year veteran, as an EMS, were you understanding the terms and things that were being explained to you in the ME?
Yes.
So then I'd like you to please go ahead with your what you were explaining to us about.
Judge, and I'm going to renew my objection. At this point, it's relying on hearsay to make a determination of what someone else may have said about what they think they may or may not have found.
It's overruled.
Go ahead, please, ma'am.
Sorry, can you repeat that question?
I was asking you to please explain what you were observing during the autopsy that helped cause you to change your mind about the cause of death.
As they were dissecting the bruise, it was a very deep bruise on her arm. It didn't make sense that she had thrown up the night before because she still had stomach contents.
I pause you, please.
Yes.
Explain that to the jury, please.
So her stomach was full of food. If she threw up, there wouldn't be food in her stomach during the autopsy. Okay. I was going to say, so I'm the one that signs the death certificate. I'm the one that makes that determination. I do, if we do an autopsy on a body, I do take the medical examiner's words, advice. I'm not a doctor. They're a doctor. When they do the autopsy, then it helps me figure out the cause of death.
You'd explained earlier that one of the bases for your original determination was seizures. What did you learn from the autopsy about that factor, or that aspect of Tammy?
All of Tammy's organs were very healthy. There was nothing in the brain. The heart was healthy. The only organ that was not healthy were the lungs. When they were dissected, there was still foam, a lot of foam in the lungs.
How did that impact your decision to change the death certificate?
There shouldn't have been that foam in the lungs still. It was 2 months before she was exhumed and then autopsy was done.
Is there anything else besides the autopsy that has impacted your decision to change the amended death certificate?
Yes.
What other things?
I received a call from Arizona police. They wanted all of my coroner records. There had been a death in Arizona, and Chad's name was brought up. And there was also an attempt. And when I heard all those names and the investigation that was going on, and then it did change my mind. If I had known that information, it would have been
different. Who were the names that had been brought up?
Lori Ballow.
I'll withdraw. I'm sorry. I apologize. Okay.
Lori Ballow, Alex Cox, Chad Daybell.
You mentioned the word attempt. What did you mean by that?
An attempt for Lori's niece's husband, attempt a shooting.
At the time that you made your original determination, had you heard the name JJ Vallow or Tylee Ryan?
No.
Did information related to those names also impact your decision to amend the death certificate?
Yes.
As you sit there today, do you have any regrets about your original decision?
Yes.
What are those regrets?
Had I known that information, I would have ordered an autopsy. At that time, with my limited training and being new, I did the best I could with what training I had at that time.
Thank you, ma'am. Your Honor, I have no more questions at this time.
All right. Cross-examination.
Judge, before we start, I have Exhibit 19 and 20. If I could provide those to the bailiff to have those marked. My understanding is 19 and 20 are admitted by way of stipulation of the parties.
Okay. Have they? And what are those, Mr. Pryor?
Those are death. 20 is a death certificate. 19 are pictures. And Judge, we'll have a sidebar prior to going forward with the pictures, if that's acceptable to
all right. Panel. How many pictures have you got in?
It's going to be one. There are a number of pictures, A through I think K, but specifically it's going to be F that I think I'm going to be looking at. But I'll request a sidebar before we go down that road, Judge.
Okay.
Your Honor, for my benefit, could I just ask counsel to refresh me what these photos are of? Are they of Tammy's death scene?
Correct.
Thank you.
And Judge, there may be some overlap with what the state had admitted as well previously. So.
Sounds like we have a defense exhibit 20 that's already been admitted.
They may already be on there.
Okay, so the death certificate exhibit 20 has previously been admitted?
I didn't have a recollection of that, Judge. My notes didn't reflect that. I apologize.
All right, thank you. So you can start there. And when we get to the pictures, if we have exhibits not yet admitted, we'll take those up in turn.
All right. And Judge, whenever I can go forward.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Thank you. So, and how would you like me to address you? Ms. Dye or Coroner Dye? Ms. Dye is okay?
Okay.
Ms. Dye, you had an occasion to discuss this case with the FBI. Do you recall that?
Yes.
And that discussion took place at the Rexburg Police Department?
Yes.
Okay. And as part of that discussion with the FBI, you had mentioned that you had worked for EMS for 20 years.
Yes.
That you were an EMT for 5 years and an advanced EMT for 15. Is that still accurate?
That was in 2019. So
you have even more experience now.
I have more experience now, yes. Right.
So when you're talking about an EMT and an advanced EMT, an advanced EMT is someone who is qualified to give medication. Is that right?
A certain medication, yes.
And there's also additional training as well, identifying medical emergencies. But in addition, there's also some training as it relates to death scene investigation. Is there not?
Yes.
And for 20 years, you had experience doing that, right?
My main concern as an EMT is to save lives.
I understand that, but if the life can't be saved, you're still, as an EMT for 20 years, given a significant amount of training about the death scene investigation, are you not?
If we can't save the patient before I was coroner, then no, I didn't. We would leave the scene.
Okay. Now, when you spoke with the FBI, your testimony with the prosecuting attorney is you said something about taking a two-day seminar, is that right? Some sort of two-day training?
In Boise, yes.
And then you said there was some other classes or some other issues, right?
There's a week-long conference, and it's about 4 days, but it's a week-long in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And that's what I was curious about, because you mentioned something about something else, but when you talked to the FBI, you described it as a week-long conference with the FBI as part of your training, right?
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. And what areas did that cover as part of that week-long conference?
Causes of death, times of death. It covers a wide variety.
It's an extensive course.
Yes. It was my first time attending too.
And is it required as part of being a coroner? Isn't that one of the requirements that you have to go through that training in order to be either elected or appointed as a coroner of a county?
Yes.
And you have to get this extensive training, because we're not dealing with a minor issue. We're dealing with making a significant determination of the cause of death of somebody, aren't we, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. And are you familiar with Title 19, Chapter 43 of the Idaho Code?
I don't recall.
Judge, would there be something that could refresh your recollection if I showed you something?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, if you would be so kind as to just read that. I'm not having a mark, just to be president. You can read that. Take
the time to read that. And then when you're done, hand it back to the bailiff, and then we'll talk a little bit about it.
What statute are you having her review, Mr. Pryor?
1943-01, Judge. I have another copy. If I would like, I could provide it to the court.
Fine, I have it.
Thank you. Now, you've read Title 19, Chapter 43, 01 of the Idaho Code. Is that?
Objection, Your Honor.
Grounds.
Your Honor, this witness is not qualified to give any. She has no legal expertise to be interpreting statutes for the jury.
Well, if it calls for a legal conclusion, I'll sustain it, but I don't know what the question is yet, so overruled for now.
Now, ma'am, did you have an occasion to read that as part of your responsibilities of becoming a coroner?
When I first took over as coroner, yes.
Right. So you're aware that your primary job as a coroner under this particular legal statute of the law is... When a county coroner is informed that...
Objection, Your Honor. This is calling for a legal conclusion.
It's not, Judge.
Overruled.
When a county coroner is informed that a person has died, the county coroner shall investigate the death. You read that first line, right? And you're aware of that, right?
Yes.
You are under a legal obligation under the law as part of your position to investigate any death, correct?
Yes.
And if that death... was suspicious or unknown circumstances at sub B, or the death occurred as a result of violence, whether by homicide, suicide, accident, you are required to investigate, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And then as a result, if you determine that there's an issue, you can require an inquest to be conducted, which is basically like a jury trial, right? You understand that?
Yes.
Okay. And you are also to notify the police if you have any, before even doing an inquest, if you have any concerns under the statute that there's anything suspicious or out of the ordinary, you are to notify the police department and ask them to conduct an investigation. You understand that as well?
Yes. And we did have an officer on scene that helped investigate this. And we have an officer respond to every death call that helps investigate.
And I appreciate that, ma'am. But in talking to the prosecutor, you talked about, well, the lapidity caused me some concern. Remember you said that about lapidity, that was a concern of yours, and your questions weren't answered, right? Well, at the time of the scene there, you said, you noticed lapidity in the body, that Tammy Daybell apparently had died on her back, right?
Right.
Okay. Yes. Was that of a concern of yours at the time? that would cause you to say, maybe I ought to take a step back before I sign this death certificate?
At that time, no.
Okay, but you were fully aware of the lapidity that you're claiming had occurred at that point. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. There were no fresh bruises on Tammy Daybell's body anywhere, were there?
On her arm, yes.
Those were fresh bruises?
I don't know. I'm not qualified to.
Well, you did a report in that regard, did you not?
I did, and it looked like an old bruise to me. And with
that's, we'll get to that.
Okay.
So when you filled out your medical report, you specifically not only identified that she had bruises on her arm, you actually used the word old bruises. Do you remember that?
Yes, I did. Okay.
And these were not fresh or red or irritated or anything like that, correct?
Objection, Your Honor. The witness has already indicated she's not qualified to determine that.
Well, based on her observations all over.
These weren't fresh bruises, were they, on her arms? These were old bruises, just like what your report says, correct?
I can't answer that.
Okay. But you will answer that on your report, when you decided to fill out a report relating to this case, that report said old bruises. When the picture of the body, you wrote on the arms, old bruises on the arms, right?
Yes.
Okay. No other bruises on her body anywhere else, right?
No.
Nothing else that would deem to be suspicious on her body, correct?
No.
And in fact, there was no indication of any trauma to the neck that you could observe, right?
No.
There were no scratch marks on her hands that would indicate any kind of a struggle, correct?
No.
There was no irritation on her ears or her face or her head that would give you any indication that there was any kind of a struggle. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. When you arrived, Chad Daybell was distraught, wasn't he?
Yes.
Sobbing.
Yes.
And you noted that it was his son that was not upset. His son was, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would you say his son was reserved?
Yes.
Quiet.
Yes.
And in the FBI report, you mentioned that you think that maybe his son was in shock. Remember that?
Yes.
Okay. And it's still your assessment at this point that at the time you felt that his son Garth was in shock. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. You went over to the nightstand and on Tammy's side of the bed, you found the essential oils, right?
The book.
The what?
The book.
The book.
Of essential oils of natural. Okay.
I would represent to you that Officer Greenell testified that she found a number of items in the bedroom. And you also saw cough medicine on Tammy's side. Is that right?
I don't recall the cough medicine being in the bedroom.
Okay. What about the medication for bruises that she had that was in the bedroom as well? Do you recall that?
No.
Okay. But if Officer Greenell was there, right?
Yes.
And detailed that in her report, correct? Correct?
I don't recall.
Okay. Would it help you to review Officer Greenell's report?
Yes.
Judge, if I could just have a moment.
You may.
And Judge, I think while I'm waiting for this to load, I'll continue with some questions so we don't waste any time if it loads. So back to, I think where we left off is that Garth was, in your opinion, was in shock at the death of his mother, correct?
Correct.
And Chad Daybell, throughout this episode of being there with Tammy, for the most part, was sobbing and was highly emotional almost the entire time. Is that fair?
Yes.
There was no instance where you saw that he was faking it or trying to pretend to be upset. This was a genuine situation where you truly believed he was upset about the death of his wife. Is that right?
Objection. Speculation, Your Honor.
Overruled.
You can answer.
Yes.
Now, I appreciate you talking about it, and you mentioned it in the report, that at no time did the family ever try to prevent you from doing an autopsy in this case. Is that right?
Emma stated she didn't want one done, but okay. It's my choice, ultimately my choice, yes.
Emma didn't want one done because she didn't want her mother cut up, right?
Correct, yes.
She didn't want her mother subjected to she didn't want her mother treated that way as part of the examination. Is that what her primary and only concern was?
Yes.
Okay. And yet Chad was indifferent one way or the other. He didn't tell you one way or the other whether he wanted one or didn't want one. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And ultimately, it's not the family's decision whether this occurs. It's your decision whether this occurs. Is that right?
Yes.
And based on the facts as you saw them, you saw some old bruises that you identified in your report, right? Correct?
Bruises.
There were no other indications of a struggle or a fight as it related to Tammy Daybell's body. Is that right?
No, not that I noticed, no.
Okay. No other indication right up to the time you dropped her off at the morgue that there was any problem with Tammy's body in any way, correct?
Explain problem.
Well, you didn't see anything as part of the when you arrived, the time that you loaded her up and took her off to the morgue, there was never anything during that process that would indicate there was anything wrong with Tammy Daybell's body, right?
I don't know what you're asking.
Okay.
I can't answer that question.
Okay. How about this? There's nothing suspicious that you noted other than the lapidity and the old bruises that you put in your medical report, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Judge, at this point, I've got the report of Officer Greenow. With the court's permission, I could give it to the bailiff. He could take it to her and she could scroll through. I think that would protect in terms of being able to refresh her recollection about the report, if that's acceptable to the court.
All right. I'll let the prosecutor take a look at that first before it goes to the witness to make sure it's appropriately identified.
Oh, it's okay. See? And then it has the proof. And I could have printed it off.
Mr. Pryor, we've got that report also admitted as an exhibit, if that's easier.
I was also, maybe I missed it, but I didn't have that marked down. And if the court wants to, either way, Judge, either we can.
I'd prefer the exhibit to your computer.
All right.
State's exhibit 418.
It doesn't work that way. I'm an idiot when it comes to electronics. Oh, thank you. And ma'am, after you've had a chance to review that, would you look up and then just hand that back to the bailiff?
Your Honor, while the witness is reviewing, may we have a quick sidebar?
Well, let's have the witness finish the review and then we'll have a quick sidebar.
I have it under, I think, 19 or one of these I have it under, and I'm going to move to admit the entire explanation. Yeah. I think the whole thing is. There's like four pages there in the whole thing. So. Yeah, there's. Oh, no, that's okay. We can just correct that. I don't have a problem with that. And if you have my stipulation, do you want to read over this so you know what's in the whole thing? Well, no. Just use the up and down thing and you can start. And
okay, in hurry.
Get it back to the bailiff. And Judge, for counsel, may I have a look at that, Mr. Bailiff, please?
Yeah, and that's exhibit 418 that counsel's reviewing.
You're right. It's only two.
Judge, we may have to have a sidebar just very briefly. Would that be possible?
Yes, that's fine.
Want to look at the rest of it? Or
Okay. All right. So after a sidebar, we've determined we do need to take some a little bit of time to get an exhibit prepared, which we're working on at this time. And we will take the mid-morning recess to allow that to occur while we're on break. So we'll take our break here, plan on a 30-minute break to come back on at 10:15.
All right, please.
There's more to come in the trial of Chad Daybell. Press subscribe so you don't miss any of our continuing coverage right here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers Podcast.